Friends, hello, and welcome again to another program of Search the Scriptures. We're here at Search the Scriptures, as we always tell you. The Bible is the supreme authority in the universe. The Torah, which is the first five books of the Old Testament, and actually even the whole Old Testament can be referred to as the Torah, literally is a better translation than the law is the instruction. It's the instruction for life, and that's what we're here to do. We're here to give you instruction for life. On the last program, I was going over the reward of the saved. The reward of the saved. And what you'll find out on this program, very different than many religious programs, is that you will not get a lot of religion when you listen to our program, but actually, we are giving this program directly from Israel, the nation of Israel, and the law will go forth from Zion, the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem. Yahweh is the name of our Heavenly Father, and our Savior's name is Yeshua, his Hebrew name, where most people know him as Jesus. Because we live in Israel, we use his proper name, the original Hebrew name, which is Yeshua. So in the last program, we were going over the reward of the saved, and we were showing that nowhere in the Bible is it ever stated that heaven is the reward of the saved. Isaiah 66, Yahweh says, heaven is my throne, and the earth his footstool. When Genesis 1, when Yahweh gave Adam and man dominion over the earth, he never gave them dominion over the heaven. So we see that it was never heaven that was the promise. And if you didn't hear the program, you can always go to our website, www.coyhwh.com. Go to the radio section. You can hear any of these programs over and over. You can download them for free. Matthew 10:8, freely you receive, freely you give. We're not here to sell you anything, to try to coerce you for money or anything else. We're simply here to preach the truth of Yahweh and his word coming from Israel in these end times, and we actually believe we are, at least in part, fulfilling part of that prophecy of the word coming from Israel. So let's get into today, which is, as we showed before, the reward of the saved is actually the land of Israel, the very land that I'm sitting here, this wonderful land that's around us, and the Sea of Galilee, and the Golan Heights, and all the wonderful things, every single thing that has happened in your Bible, starting from Genesis, going all the way to Revelation, all happens in this tiny little land of Israel, which is not much bigger than the size of New Jersey. So what makes this land so special? Because this was the land that Yahweh promised through Abraham, Genesis 12 and Genesis 17, that he said, I will give to your seed and their seed after you for an eternal covenant. And we're going to go over quite a few different programs on covenants. It's something that is not really understood today. Most of the world's religious teachers are teaching you religion, which you don't find in the Holy Scriptures, instead of teaching you covenant relationships. Covenant relationships. That's what the Father is trying to do, bring his people back into covenant relationship. And the land covenant here, this was the promise to Abraham and his seed. Abraham was never promised heaven, but he was promised the very land of Israel where I sit today and do this program from. And then Galatians 3 and verse 29 clearly says that if you be in Messiah, then you are a seed of Abraham and an heir according to the promise. So as heirs of Abraham, we also are promised a part of this very land when the Messiah returns. We went over the Messiah returns to the Mount of Olives. He's going to have a 1,000-year millennial reign. We'll have different programs on that, straight here from the land of Israel. And if you are a believer in him, if you've been immersed in his name and you've entered covenant with him, then you will be a first fruit in that day, and you will actually reign with him during that 1,000 years and help him to replenish this earth. What a wonderful, wonderful news, good news of the kingdom that the Father has for those who love him. But today I want to start getting into, I don't know how many programs we're going to do, at least two, maybe even three or four, because we have so many things about the land of Israel today that we need to discuss. You know, it's pretty interesting. As I'm doing this program, just this past week, there was a big problem here in Israel where there were ships that were coming in that had different mercenaries and terrorists on them. They were trying to break the Gaza blockade, naval blockade, and the terrorists aboard one of the six ships attacked Israeli commandos. And what was the end result of that? Several of them died. Several of the commandos were hurt. They were shot by the terrorists. They were stabbed, one, at least one, maybe two. And there's been a big commotion worldwide. And you wonder to yourself, really think to yourself, so many things are going on in this world. Just a few weeks ago, North Korea actually, with a submarine, shot a missile and torpedoed a Navy ship of South Korea, killing 46 seamen and injuring many more. There has been no outrage in the world. There has been no protest. There is no cry, not even a UN resolution up to this point, which they'll probably get a watered down one eventually. But can you imagine that a blatant act of war like that goes unnoticed by the world? There's all kinds of human rights violations going on in China, going on in North Korea, going on in Egypt, going on in many, many Arab nations, Saudi Arabia, where people are putting in prison camps. They're being tortured, some of them even being crucified. And yet, the United Nations seems to say nothing. In this tiny little nation, this nation that is a little bit smaller, or a little bit bigger rather, than the size of New Jersey, and look at all the condemnation that they get for absolutely anything they do. And this is all part of prophecy. It's all part of prophecy. But you know, Genesis 12:3 says to Abraham, I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. And you would think, you know, with the Israelite people being the chosen people of Yahweh, I actually have a book I've written called The Chosen People. You can go to our website, www.coyhwh.com. You could read the book for free on the website. You can ask for a copy if you'd like. But you'll see that the chosen people, the one people on this earth that we should be supporting, are the very same people that this world seems to have a hatred for that you can't even imagine. And it doesn't make sense from a logical standpoint, but it's not logical because as the scripture tells us, our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against spirits and principalities and darkness, right? And this is definitely darkness. So that's why I want to get into the importance of the land of Israel being a nation today. If you go back in history, you'll see that there were thousands of different empires and nations and peoples. You had people like the Philistines, you had people like the Amalekites, the Canaanites, the Jebusites, the Hittites, all these different people, right? And where are these people today? Where are the Canaanites? Where are the Jebusites? Where are the Hittites? Where are they? Well, they're not here. There are no such people today. You know, people come and people go. There's different nations that change their name. I mean, even the nation of Iran today, I believe it was 1926. Before that, they were called Persia for thousands of years. And now all of a sudden, they're called Iran, you know. And you see these things that happen, you know. But there are a few nations in the world that have stayed, Egypt and Syria and a few different places. But most of the places and names of places in the world today are not the names of the Asian places. And yet, even when you look at Israel, you know, Israel was a nation back in about 443 B.C., they come from Egypt, from captivity, into the promised land of Israel. They're a nation for roughly, 443 BC until around 600 BC. So what is that, close to 800 years? You know, maybe a little more, 850 years. They're a nation. And then that's it. They were taken away to Babylon. In 721 BC, the northern tribes of Israel were taken to Assyria and Carthage, and all over the earth. And then, like I said, around starting in 609 BC to around 572 BC during the Babylonian invasion, we see that the southern tribes of Judah and Benjamin and Levi were taken captive to Babylon. And then Israel was no more. They were not a sovereign nation for for more than 2,500 years. So very interesting, though. When we look, what do we see? We see that in the days Yeshua Messiah walked the earth, in history it's called the Herodian period, the 1st century AD and 1st century BC, we see that Israel, although there were Jews that were living in the very land where I'm giving this radio program from, we see that there was no nation of Israel even at that time. They were not a sovereign people. They were under the Roman occupation. First they were under the occupation of the Babylonians and then the Persians and then the Greeks and then the Romans during the days of Yeshua. But it was prophesied. It was prophesied exactly how many years Israel would be in captivity, and it was prophesied the very year they would come out of captivity. Because there's a reason. The end time cannot come unless Israel was a nation again. So let's start in Matthew 24. Let's start in Matthew 24 and let's see exactly what was said about the nation of Israel. Matthew 24 in verse 32. He says, "But learn the parable of the fig tree." Now Matthew 24 is called the Olivet Prophecy. It's part of the synopsis of the three Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Mark 13, Luke 21, and Matthew 24. They all talk about the end of the age, the very time that we're living in today, and all the things that will happen coming up to that time. And I think I'll start here, actually, in verse 2. But Yeshua said to them, Well, let's start in verse 1 of Matthew 24. "And going out, Yeshua left the sanctuary, and his disciples came to him," the construction of the sanctuary, to show him the construction of the sanctuary. "But Yeshua said to them, 'Do you not see these things? Truly I say to you, there will not be left one stone on a stone which will no way be thrown down.' And as he was sitting on the Mount of Olives," verse 3, "the disciples came to him privately saying, 'Tell us, when will these things be? And what is the sign of your coming and the end of the age?'" So very clearly, they're asking Yeshua, what is the sign of his coming and the end of the age? And then he goes on to tell them all the things that are going to happen. Wars and rumors of wars, pestilence, earthquakes, and we'll have programs on all these things of prophecy clearly showing that things are happening today that have never happened in the history of man. And we know the Messiah's return is very short. It's one of the reasons for the law coming forth from Zion and me doing this program for you is to alert you, you know, to the times that we're living in and try to get people to wake up, to turn back to Yahweh's Torah, to live righteous lives, and prepare for his kingdom to this earth. So now he says all these things that will happen. And then we go down and he says about false messiahs coming, verse 25, Behold, I told you before. Then if they said, "Behold, he's in the wilderness, do not go out. Behold, he's in the inner rooms, do not believe." Verse 27 of Matthew 24. "For as lightning comes forth from the east and shines as far as the west, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man." So this is exactly when he's returning. And if you drop down to verse 32, he tells us now, the very first sign to know we are in the last generation. He says, "But learn the parable of the fig tree. When its branch becomes tender and it puts out leaves, you know that summer is near. So also when you see all these things, know that it is near even at the doors. Truly I say to you, in no way this generation will pass away until all these things have occurred. But learn the parable of the fig tree." Parable of the fig tree. So he's telling us about the fig tree. The fig tree is what we have to watch in the end time. The fig tree is going to tell us the timing of all these things. Now, very interesting about a fig tree. If you come from the Middle East or you know anything about Middle East, you'll know that fig trees are very different than any other tree because a fig tree is the only tree that the leaf and the fruit come out at the same time. Usually you have a tree growing, and then you have the leaf, and then you have the bud, and then you have it, you know, coming out. But the fig tree is different. The fig tree is the only tree that the leaf and the fruit comes at the same time. Which shows you when these things happen in the end time, they're going to happen very quickly, very quickly. Where other times in history, maybe things took hundreds of years to develop, it's not going to be that way in end time. As a matter of fact, he says, when this starts to happen, we just read, in no way will this generation pass until all these things. So it's going to be one generation that when it starts in the end time, Messiah will return. And we're going to show you the key that Scripture shows us, how to know what was the sign of that starting. Well, very interesting. If you go to Leviticus, the 26th chapter, Leviticus, the 26th chapter, it's going to tell us exactly the time frame of Israel's captivity. Because you want to know something that's interesting? He said, watch the fig tree. Well, who is the fig tree? Jeremiah 24. Maybe I'll go there first very quickly. Jeremiah 24, because I want to dogmatically show you that definitely Israel is the fig tree. There's no doubt. Jeremiah 24. We see, he says, Yahweh showed me, and behold, two baskets of figs were set before the sanctuary of Yahweh that Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away. Verse 2, one basket was very good figs, like the figs that are ripe, and the other basket were very bad figs, which could not be eaten. And then Yahweh said, what do you see, Jeremiah? He said, I see good figs and I see bad figs. And then the word of Yahweh was saying, thus says Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel, like these good figs, so I will acknowledge them carried away captive to Judah, and I've sent them out of this place to the land of the Chaldeans for their good. So very, very clearly, Israel is related here to the figs. Good figs and bad figs. Now back to Leviticus 26. Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28. Two chapters of Israel's blessings and cursings. It's when Israel entered covenant relationship with Yahweh that he told them, if they follow his Torah, he will bless them. If they don't follow his Torah, they will be cursed. And actually, Leviticus 18 says they will be spewed out of the land, spit right out of the father's mouth and out of the land of Israel. So again, there was blessings for obedience, there were cursings for disobedience, and if the disobedience mounted up so high that Yahweh couldn't take it anymore, then he would literally cast them out of the land. How long would he cast them out? We're going to see here. Leviticus 26, in verse 18, he says, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins. Verse 21, and if you walk contrary to me and not hearken unto me, I will bring seven times more plagues according to you. Verse 23 of Leviticus 26. Then I will also walk contrary to you and will punish you seven times more for your sins. Verse 28, then I will walk contrary unto you in fury, and I will chastise you seven times more. Seven times, seven times, seven times. What does he mean by this? Well, if you look that word up in the Hebrew, it literally is a condensement of punishment. Now, Numbers 14, in verse 34, tells in prophecy many times Yahweh, the Heavenly Father, that's his true name, the creator of the universe, he uses a day for a year. Just like in the book of Peter, remember it says, don't forget that 1,000 years is as one day, and one day is 1,000 years, showing Yahweh's 7,000-year plan, which we'll get into in another program. But Yahweh uses the principle of a day for a year. So, a biblical year, when the earth started, we had 12 30-day months or 360-day years. So if he's going to punish them seven times, you would take 360, which is a biblical year, times it by seven, and you get the duration of the punishment. Now, very interesting. If you times 360, you can do it yourself. If you're in a car, I wouldn't suggest it. You might not be the best time, but write this down or follow it later on our, you know, go to the website and you can listen. But take 360, times it by 7, and you come out with the exact time of Israel's punishment, which is 2,520 years. So now, 2,520 years, it's prophesied that Israel was going to be punished, they were going to be in diaspora, they would not be a nation. In the book of Hosea, the second chapter, he says you'll be many years without a king, without a household idol, you know, without a sanctuary. And they were. They were many years without these things. But if you look at the year they went in fully captivity, the first siege on Jerusalem was in 609 BC by Nebuchadnezzar. By 572 BC, all the Jews were completely expelled from the land. The last remaining ones went down to Egypt. The other ones were taken to Babylon. So, if you take 2,520 years, the time we just said that Leviticus 26 tells us the duration of their punishment if they're cast out of the land, and you add that 2,520 years to the year 572 BC now, not AD, BC. So before you get to the year 1 AD, you have to go 572 years. You will come to the year 1948. Isn't that amazing? The exact year that Israel became a nation. Let me say that once more. If you go to the year they went into captivity completely, 572 BC, and you add in the years of their punishment that we just learned, 2,520 years, you will come exactly to 1948. It was all timed by our Heavenly Father. And that was the beginning of the last days. That was the beginning of what Matthew 24 and Luke 17 and Mark 13 call the end times. Now, let me prove this to you from another scripture. Let's go to Psalm 102, because Psalm 102 is going to clearly show you that even the Holocaust was prophesied, that the nation would have to go through that horrific Holocaust before they would be a nation again, and that this was for the end times. I'm going to start in Psalm 102, and we're going to see it very clearly. Psalm 102 says, "A prayer of the afflicted, when he was faint and pours out his complaint before Yahweh. Hear my prayer, O Yahweh, and let my cry come to you. Do not hide your face from me in the day of my trouble. Bow down your ear to me in the day I call. Answer me quickly. For my days are finished in smoke, and my bones are burned like a hearth." Who could forget the pictures of the Holocaust, the pictures of people literally in crematoriums, literally being burned, their full bodies. Verse 4 of Psalm 102, "My heart is stricken and dried like grass, so that I forget to eat my bread. Because of the voice of my sighing, my bones cleave to my flesh." And believe me, I've been to the Holocaust Museum here in Jerusalem many times, and they have pictures. You can't tell if it's a man or a woman because of the horrendous starvation that the Nazis and the Russians did to the Jewish people back in those days. "My heart is stricken and dried like grass, so I forget to eat my bread. Because of the voice of my sighing, my bones cleave to my flesh. I am like a pelican of the wilderness. I am like an owl of the desert. I watch and I'm like a sparrow alone on the housetop." What was Hitler trying to do? To get rid of every last Jew on the earth. "My enemies curse me," verse 8 of Psalm 102. "My enemies curse me all the day long. My very name has been used as a curse against me." Why? Why were they trying to destroy? Why were they trying to distinguish all Jews from the earth? Why? No reason. Only because they were Jews. They did nothing wrong. They were looking for a scapegoat. Hitler and his Nazi army. "My very enemies," verse 8, "all the day long, my very name has been used as a curse against me." Remember, they used to put yellow armbands on the arms of the Jews only because they were Jews. "For I've eaten ashes like bread and have mixed my drink with weeping." You know that the stories are told that people that were in these crematoriums, they would literally burn their family members. And when the wind was blowing a certain way, the ashes of their family members would be coming and blowing right in their face. "I have eaten ashes like bread and have mixed my drink with weeping. Because of your anger and your wrath, for you have lifted me and cast me down. My days are like a shadow stretched out, and I wither like grass." Verse 12 of Psalm 102. "But you, O Yahweh, shall dwell forever in your memory to generation in generation. You shall arise, have mercy on Zion, for the time to pity her. Yea, the appointed time has come." The word in Hebrew is moed. It's the same word used for holy days, holy appointment. "You shall arise, have mercy on Zion, for the time to pity her, yea, the appointed time." What did we just say? That when Israel went into captivity, 572 BC, by the Babylonians, Yahweh had appointed a very time for their punishment and a time when they would come out of that punishment. Exactly from 572 BC, exactly 2,520 years later, on the very day, May 14th, 1948, Israel was a nation again. Where are the other nations? Where are the Amalekites? Where are the Hittites? Where are the Jebusites? Where are the Canaanites? Where are they? Lost in history. But Israel has never been lost. Israel are the chosen people. Israelites are the ones that the Father is working for to bring salvation to this world. Verse 14. "For your servants take pleasure in its stones and pity its dust." Archaeology. Archaeology only about 130, 140 years old. One of the greatest places on earth that it's been is Israel, right where I am. We work in archaeology here with different very famous archaeologists in Israel. We do different programs where we bring people over and train them. But there's over 22,000 currently archaeological sites here in the land of Israel. Psalm 102 and verse 15. So nations shall fear the name of Yahweh, and the kings of the earth your glory. When Yahweh shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. When Yahweh shall build up Zion, he will appear in his glory. Israel had to be a nation again for the Messiah to return. Right here it's very clear. When Yahweh will build up Zion, he will appear in his glory. There's close to 900,000 people living in Jerusalem today. Jerusalem is expanded and is larger more than it's ever been in its history, going back to the Garden of Eden. When Yahweh shall build up Zion, he will appear in his glory. He will turn to the prayer of the destitute and will not despise their prayer. Now look at Psalm 102 and verse 18. Who is this written for? This shall be written for the last generation, and people to be created shall praise Yahweh. This shall be written for the last generation. Very, very clearly, Psalm 102 is all about the Jewish people that horrifically went through the Holocaust will be the same Jewish people to see the Messiah appear. Verse 20, or verse 19. For he has looked down from the height of his sanctuary, Yahweh looked from heaven to earth, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to set free the sons of death, to declare the name of Yahweh in Zion, in his praise in Jerusalem, when the people and the kingdoms are gathered together to serve Yahweh. Wow. Wow. How awesome to think that Yahweh knows the end from the beginning, and all things were planned. And is there a reason why there's so much hatred to the nation of Israel in the end time? Absolutely. Because Satan is the god of this world. And Satan has deceived the nations. Revelation 12:9. Satan has deceived the whole world. And Satan is getting ready to build his kingdom here on this earth, Revelation 13, for 42 months. And unfortunately, that kingdom will be allowed to come out of Jerusalem. But after that, the Messiah is going to appear in this generation that started in 1948. And he will have his kingdom, which will be world without end after his thousand-year millennium. And it's all right here in your Bible. And I have barely touched the surface. Can you imagine it? We're just about out of time. I have barely touched the surface, but I have shown you conclusively in this short radio program now that Israel had to be a nation again, that it's prophesied that the same people who went through the Holocaust would be the same people that would see the return of the Messiah, and it would all happen, like Matthew 24 said, in one generation. So if 1948 was the beginning of that generation, you can do your own math, you can see we are well far into the game. And the time of our Messiah's returning is very short. We are the congregation of Yahweh Jerusalem. The law will go forth from Zion. This word is coming from you, from Israel, the nation of Israel. We do host the three pilgrim feasts of Sukkot and Shavuot and Pesach here in Jerusalem, Israel. You're welcome to come on a pilgrimage. It will change your life forever. So go to our website, www.cohyhwh.com, and see what we're about, see the truth, and may Yahweh bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine on you, and may his countenance lift you up. Until next time, we will get into much, much more of the importance of the land of Israel in the end time. Yahweh bless you.